El futuro tiene nada más que la confrontación.
Hey, welcome to You Don't Even Like This Show. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. I used to host a podcast called Unpopular Opinion, and that podcast was this podcast. But then everyone else in the world decided they liked the name Unpopular Opinion a lot too, so we changed the name to You Don't Even Like This Show. Each week, me and a couple of guests selected from a pool of the absolute sharpest minds the LA entertainment scene has to offer, use this here space to talk about whatever the hell we want. News, pop culture, politics, information, you name it, we talk about it. And sometimes my co-host Jeff May is here too. It's a blast. You're going to love it. Hey, everybody. Welcome to You Don't Even Like This Show, a podcast about news, information, pop culture, technique, style, art, the arts, information. Whatever we want to talk about, I am your host, Adam Todd Brown. Joining me as co-host this week, my favorite co-host of all. No co-host, but I do have a couple of guests. Case in point, joining us for the first time in a long time, Kevin Anderson's here.
Hey, everybody. I'm the local expert on information for the show.
Right?
I was a style guy, but now I'm information guy.
And our expert on technique, Rivers Langley, is here.
Hi, I'm Rivers Arts and Entertainment Langley.
That's right. We got all the
business cards.
I am also home gardening Langley.
All the verticals represented on this episode, all our silo of content. Everyone knows Kevin Anderson and Rivers
Langley.
Yeah. I hope if you've been listening to this podcast, even for a scant amount of time, you have been exposed to by Rivers and Kevin. They're both huge pervs.
I can't stop exposing.
Yeah. Just dicks everywhere.
They call me Kevin Full Frontal Nudity on Podcasts Anderson.
I often wonder where they get all the dicks, because it's not just like it's like a variety. It's weird. So yeah, we're doing a local news roundup episode. People know how those work. We're talking about local news from around the country. I feel like I found a selection of very sad news, but also if you saw the whole list and saw the things I cut, this could have been a really morbid episode. It's a dark time in America's history right now.
It's not great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Blur is getting dunked on Twitter because of Coachella. It's terrible.
Yeah, that's no good.
All of Grimes' backing tracks are playing at two times the speed and she doesn't know how to handle it.
Everything is going wrong at Coachella. It's a dark time in the United States of America.
You weren't talking about anything else, right, Adam? This is mostly what the dark time is.
Just Coachella stuff.
Coachella's going to be all Coachella news, of course.
Turns out people know way more Gwen Stefani than No Doubt at this point. It's terrible.
Oh, yeah. No Doubt reunited. I saw the bass player for No Doubt.
Tony Canal.
Yeah, I saw him in a bar in Hollywood after a show once, and I just pointed at him and gave him a thumbs up. Because here's the thing, No Doubt, one of the tightest live bands I've ever seen. They're so good.
I believe that.
They are crazy good.
The bass player is the one that Tragic Kingdom is about, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I kind of would want to meet one of those people of just like, yo, that's almost like meeting somebody from Fleetwood Mac or something. It's like, yeah, you being a dickhead made incredible art 30 years ago.
Exactly.
How does that feel?
We are not, unfortunately, talking about No Doubt.
Oh, damn it.
Our first story. We're talking about a band I like a whole lot less, that being the FBI.
Their first album was kind of tight, but...
The FBI has opened a criminal investigation into the Baltimore Bridge collapse. That's a thing we talked about on an episode of Pretty Scary recently. Did everyone see the video of this bridge?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I immediately was like, oh, it's aliens for sure. It's definitely.
I knew immediately that it was because the boat was woke. I knew that. I was like, that's a woke boat. I could tell. That boat was hired under DEI ethics.
Woke boat had such a bad set at Coachella, dude.
Woke boat.
They were not good.
Are you talking about the band Yacht? That's kind of who they are, I think.
Yeah, we kind of said the exact same thing on Pretty Scary, because not the entire public reaction, but a lot of the reaction to this boat incident was, well, that's what happens when you start getting too diverse.
And aren't they?
That's what causes boat crashes, diversity.
Wasn't the boat from Singapore? too. Yeah, like
exactly.
You know how much they actually sound like that Anchorman line, diversity is an old, old wooden ship? I can't believe it. That's a real thing now. Holy shit. I just thought about that.
On that pretty scary episode, I was like, they could have said aliens, and I would have bought that over. This is what happens when diversity comes to your city.
Dude, and I was awake at 1 a.m., and it was literally just like, how long before this turns into a conspiracy theory? And the conspiracy is somehow not America doesn't take care of their infrastructure for any fucking reason because it gives money to poor people. That's the conspiracy. But how long before this turns into something stupid? And boy, it was within milliseconds. It's really
Yeah, I was shocked by how many bridge experts were on Twitter that day. Everybody knew exactly what happened and why it was a bomb and not a boat. Everybody knows. I didn't know that everybody fucking knew everything about bridges in one day. It's incredible.
Yeah, that mayor is really up against it because one of the things people got mad at him for was he wasn't dressed up enough.
It's 1 a.m.
I remember that.
He addressed the city at 1 a.m. And it's like, if he stopped and suited up and did his hair, lotioned his face,
that'd be worse.
Would be like, look at our GQ DEI mayor.
Yeah.
And stop and get pretty before he came to.
What do you think? You're better than me?
Yeah. It would have been exactly that. Yeah.
My favorite aspect, and I'm sure you guys probably mentioned this, but with the people, when they saw the mayor for the first time, they were just like, oh, this is another diversity hire. And I'm like, not a black mayor in Baltimore. It's the opposite.
Also, people don't hire mayors.
Right. They get voted on. But even if they did, a white mayor would be a diversity hire.
Right, 100%.
In the city of Baltimore.
100%.
Yeah. You've just never been to Baltimore if you think that is diversity creeping into the city government.
Right. I don't think I've been to Baltimore, but I've seen The Wire.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, yeah, amazing.
So, yeah, the FBI has opened a criminal investigation into whether all of the federal laws that you have to follow when you're operating a big-ass bridge-destroying ship in the ocean, whether they followed all those laws. And here's the thing. I feel like they maybe didn't.
I'm positive they didn't, yeah.
I feel like it's going to come to pass that maybe they broke some laws. And at that point, who goes to prison, do you think? The guy who was driving the boat who's making like 65 grand a year?
Yep, that's exactly who goes, not the multinational corporation that owned the fucking boat. And again, it's like,
well, look, haven't those corporations been through enough?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, I'm not a legal expert. I'm not a bridge expert. I'm not a boat expert. I'm going to go ahead and spoil the findings of this case. It's that they slashed security concerns over the protestations of the employees so that they could pay people less. That's what it's going to be. And that is the funniest shit with conspiracy theorists, where you're just like, there is a conspiracy there. And it's that people don't give a shit about human lives when it comes to putting profits ahead of everything else. There's your conspiracy. And guess what? It's everything. It's the whole fucking country.
Counterpoint, black captain.
Singapore. Hard to find a black captain in Singapore, but they did it just to please the woke mob of Singapore.
Did they have a black captain?
I don't know, but that was the conspiracy. They were like, oh, well, there was probably a very qualified white man from Singapore that could have been driving this boat, but instead they went with an African Singaporean.
I don't know who was actually piloting the boat or captaining the boat, but I guarantee you that they are black in the eyes of the people who are mad about this.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, absolutely.
The average Fox News watcher is just imagining
all these African Americans in Singapore.
I just think it's 2 Chainz smoking a joint and driving a boat. Like, no, man.
I hear these rappers like boats.
Lil Yachty. It's Lil Yachty.
Little woke boat himself.
The woke boat, man. Yeah. First he made a damn Pink Floyd album, and now he's driving a damn boat into a bridge. That menace. That album rips, by the way. That's my favorite album of last year.
You do love that album.
Let's start here. Amazing.
So the FBI is opening this investigation. Also, the mayor of Baltimore, Brandon Scott, who we just mentioned, announced a partnership with 2 law firms to, quote, launch legal action to hold the wrongdoers responsible, end quote. And I bet he was dressed sharp as shit. He said,
yeah.
And it was 3 a.m.
Yeah. He looked fucking amazing.
He's in a zoot suit.
Yeah.
Yeah. The mayor of Baltimore, I believe, is 39, which I'm older than that. And I haven't mayored a single city yet.
Oh, yeah. Sam.
Because of the DEI, like if it wasn't DEI shit, you'd probably be mayor.
Yeah, that's exactly the issue. I would probably be mayor of LA, but they had to hire a black woman.
Yeah, and to hire her. Yeah.
She's either black or from Singapore. I don't know. She's one of the two.
So yeah, we'll see where this goes. I
told you where it's going. It's going there. It's going to be like, oh, and then as you said, no corporation will be held accountable. They will have to pay some money, and then they'll probably send the guy driving the boat to jail because he ignored a warning of some kind of, as far as the electrical system goes. And it was like, well, I have to get this. It's the same reason Amazon drivers are pissing in fucking bottles and leaving them out on the road and shit. It's like, I don't have time for this because I'll be fired. So fuck your alarm. Let's go for it. Leroy Jenkins.
Yeah. What a hell of a Leroy Jenkins. Yeah. They did a lot of DPS to the bridge that day.
Yeah. Leroy Jenkins. Then you just drive into a bridge at 8 miles an hour.
Hey, that's Captain Jenkins to you.
Yeah, please respect the text.
Yeah, the video of this incident is nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
There's surveillance cameras just pointed at that bridge all the time.
Yeah.
So you see the whole thing. And that moment when those lights go off, it's just this big black mass heading toward the bridge. It's so creepy. God damn, it's creepy.
Yeah. My other favorite aspect of the conspiracy theory thing is that people are just like, oh, this is some kind of false flag terrorist attack kind of thing.
Of course. Like,
if it was a terrorist attack, they would have done it at 1 p.m. and not 1 a.m. And instead of just killing the poor motherfuckers that were on the bridge welding, it would have killed a lot more people. It was, if that was the goal. If that's what they did, they're bad at terrorism. Again, I'm not a terrorist, but I could plan a terrorist attack better than this.
I hope there's no terrorists listening to this podcast getting ideas. Like, oh, of course.
Damn it. Oh, when people are on it. That's
Yeah,
welcome to the cause, Brother Langley.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it was terrorism, that would have harkened back to what I call the golden age of terrorism, which was the 60s and 70s when, sure, a Cuban national might hijack your plane, but it's just so you can go land it somewhere and they get everyone off and then blow it up as a show of what they're capable of. But they're like, we're not going to hurt you. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that is the layover of my dreams. I would love that. Every fucking layover I had ended with the plane I was just on being detonated on the runway.
Well, they're one-use planes. You use them once and then they explode.
I mean, I'm just going to say what we're all thinking. Skyjacking jumped the shark on 9/11. It really did.
It used to be
so fucking cool.
It was way off brand. Yeah. Way off brand.
Because it was either take me to Havana or I'm going to strap the money to me and jump out over the wilderness of Oregon. Yeah. Either way, super dope. Fuck 9/11, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, we're going to come out boldly and proclaim that we're anti 9/11 here.
It fucked up a cool crime.
Well, you know why 9/11 really jumped the shark? Because I understand it. The steel beams were actually melted by Fonzie hitting them. Like a jukebox.
Fonzie jumped and roll.
Hey,
he jumped the motorcycle over the shark and into the building.
Yeah, if you slow down the footage enough, you can see that the shark that's there.
So yeah, the fact that the mayor has gone to court to team up with two different law firms makes sense, because almost immediately after this happened, the owners of the Dali, which is the name of the boat, D-A-L-I, I'm assuming Salvador Dali reference.
Probably.
They immediately went to court to either, one, get a judge to agree that they are not liable for this at all, or two, get a judge to agree that they're only liable for $57 million in damage.
One or the other.
Yeah, there is no in between.
Something tells me they're going to be writing a check for exactly $57 million.
it's sitting there on their desk as they do it, but they're like, listen, I'm going to try zero first. But then if it doesn't...
Slowly slides it across the desk. Like, is this okay?
Apparently, that's the amount they're out because they lost this boat. So they're kind of saying, listen, we lost some stuff too. Okay.
Yes, the whole city of Baltimore is fucked with traffic at the moment.
Yeah.
Not to mention the people who died.
Have lost their livelihood temporarily, but
yeah.
We don't have a boat no more. So
yeah,
we'll see how that goes. But there is even more bad news when it comes to the ongoing war between ships and bridges in this country. The U.S. Coast Guard has also launched an investigation, in this case, to find out how 26 river barges got loose from their moorings last Friday.
That's so many barges.
I want to see it. I'm dying to just see it.
I want to see that. Just, do you think they all went one by one?
Yeah, one got free and cut the others loose.
Yeah, exactly.
And I have to see the time lapse with the
It's yachtity socks or something.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, they're just going.
Six. One of them struck a bridge, but obviously not.
Statistically, it had to happen.
Yeah, not in the same way it happened in Baltimore, obviously. You would have heard about that.
Yeah.
This is close to Pittsburgh, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned that.
They got three rivers there, so lots of bridges.
They sure do.
Yeah, your favorite thing is bridges.
The bridge was closed at the time, and they did an inspection. There was no damage, so that's good. Since been reopened to traffic. All but three of the barges were loaded with coal, fertilizer, and all sorts of other stuff.
You don't want in your fresh water, yeah.
But none of that spilled into the river, probably, because there is also somehow one barge that is unaccounted for.
Some meth head pulled it out of the water and burned it down for raw metal. Some fucking Pensatucky tweaker was like, hey, goddamn, that's a shit ton of metal, buddy.
This boat's made of copper.
How much you reckon that weighs? Oh, probably about 850 tons. I can get it. I got a winch on my F-250.
How do you lose a whole fucking barge?
I had to Google to make sure I knew what size a barge is. It's not a huge boat, but it's definitely not small. No, and rivers aren't super wide and vast.
And airplanes exist.
Yeah.
I think my question would be, where were people? There wasn't one fucking person watching over these things who could be like, oh, the missing barge sank right there.
No. Like,
you see where my laser pointer is? It's right there somewhere.
Yeah, it's run aground immediately, of course, because it's unanchored and unmanned.
Who let them go? It's got to be like Bugs Bunny or something. That's too ridiculous.
A confused activist who's like, I think I'm doing something to help.
Either someone let them go or all 23 of them were tied to just one post and it just kind of went and then they just went. Something, again, to the point about the Francis Scott Key Bridge, an incredible amount of oversight in pursuit of profits and at the expense of human lives. There's the conspiracy. That's what happened. Yeah. But or someone let it go. I'm hoping that'd be awesome if it's just one guy. But I feel like it's just some extremely easy to rectify safety regulation that nobody bothers to fucking do because it costs them more than it benefits that corporation. So anyway. Yeah. Or as we like to call it in California, Edison and Pacific Gas and Electric, not maintaining lines. So we have giant fuck fires every summer.
Yeah.
They create jobs, Rivers.
They do. Yeah. Prisoners. Yeah. They create 37 cents an hour jobs for prisoners who have to put the fucking fires out.
Oh, so you want to go out for a day? Well, we have a twist.
Yeah.
Base jump into this fire.
Yeah. They create a lot of great jobs at San Quentin and fucking Holston. Lots of good jobs.
The area had apparently been hit with very heavy rains recently, and people are pointing to that as a possible cause, which I think raises the question, has it never rained there before? This is a body of water that's been there a long time, so I assume there's been boats on it for quite a while too. And can you point to a point in the past where it rained enough that 26 barges went astray?
I'm just picturing how bad, how weak the knot has to be for rain hitting it to untie it. It's just like unfurls immediately with the slightest provocation.
Yeah, the new guy just tied it like a shoestring.
Yeah, he's like doing the bunny ears thing. He's like, all right, yeah. I know the bunny goes through the house.
Yeah, yeah.
Either that or this is another in what's turning out to be a long series of articles on these local news roundup episodes that basically amount to global warming fucking shit up and the articles not mentioning that at all.
Right.
Because this could be, well, yeah, there's so much rain because of global warming. So now boats are just not staying where they're supposed to be. The one we covered first was a story about the University of Minnesota women's rowing team being able to practice on the water in the Mississippi River in the winter. Yeah. They were like, this is the first time we've ever been able to do this. And at no point in the article was like, hey, also the world's on fire. And
right, right. This isn't good.
They were like, good news for the rowing team today. Yes.
Yeah. It was, that was very much the tone. Was, oh, can you believe how awesome this is?
Oh, glory. It's hot when it's not supposed to be. Isn't that cool?
Bad news for the world. Good news for 12 people. Because
yes, 12 people in a sport that only became relevant when the Full House lady photoshopped her daughter into a picture of it.
So,
true?
Yeah, that's the Aunt Becky from Full House, the college admission scandal. They would pick obscure sports and insist that their children had been parts of it. And sometimes they would Photoshop their kids into group crew pictures and stuff, even though they never rowed before.
Oh, no, I just forgot that that was the Full House lady, but I do remember that story.
Oh, amazing story. Yeah. Felicity Huffman and Full House Woman.
Yeah. So this river where this happened, it feeds into a dam, and apparently a bunch of the barges just went over that dam.
Over is good, not into.
It sucks that this wasn't caught on video.
Yeah.
This is a way funnier thing.
Yeah, we need this with the Benny Hill music.
This fucking one of that barge made it to freedom. It went through, it's like the incredible journey or whatever. Like the dogs that get lost in the wilderness and they come back. It's going over dams. It's evading the eye of humanity.
When you said it was heading for a dam, I was imagining much worse, where they had to get on the phone and be like, well, the good news is we found most of the barges. The bad news is that there's a wall of water approaching Kentucky.
All right, next story. This was cute. Boban Marjanovic, arguably one of the best personalities in basketball. He's just a sweet oaf of a man who is approximately 8'9". He's
big, big fella.
Gigantic. He was at the free throw line in the fourth quarter of a game recently against the LA Clippers in LA. Definition of a meaningless game. Clippers had already clinched the number 4 seed in the playoffs, so they sat a bunch of their starters. The Houston Rockets are not going to make the playoffs, so who cares what they're up to? And the Rockets were up by a bunch when this happened. So I think it really is fine that this guy clearly tanked a couple free throws in the midst of a professional basketball game. But here's the thing. The Clippers have a promotion going called the Foul Shot Promotion. That is F-O-W-L.
River. Do you get it, listeners? Do you get it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you don't, because right now I imagine most of them are like,
oh, it's because chickens are theropods.
Yeah. Thing is, it's a promotion they're doing in conjunction with Chick-fil-A. And the way it works, if an opposing player misses back-to-back free throws in the fourth quarter, everyone who holds a ticket to that game, be it in physical form or on their phone, more likely, gets a free chicken sando from Chick-fil-A.
It's true.
And Boban Marjanovic went to the free throw line in the fourth quarter and missed a free throw. And the LA Clippers crowd lost their shit.
I bet, yeah.
And apparently Boban knew why. Because sometimes
he's very aware in the video.
He follows Chick-fil-A on Twitter.
Yeah.
Sometimes he follows Chick-fil-A.
I do know sometimes with promotions like this, they'll announce it in the arena beforehand. Because I've been to minor league baseball games where if someone hits a home run in that inning, you get $1 beer. And they announce that ahead of time and everyone gets in their fucking 100-yard dash stance and waits for a fucking hit. So you can speed to the concession stand. So they might have done that. Whatever the case, he knew what was going on. And when he missed that first free throw and people started cheering, he was like,
I got you.
He actually mouthed the words, I got you. And then intentionally, it seems, missed the second free throw. So everyone in the arena got free Chick-fil-A chicken sandwiches, the fucking homophobes.
It does look pretty intentional, but I do wish that he had really fucking missed like a wild, crazy shot, chest pass. He hasn't even, that would have been pretty good, but he made it look like he was trying, but he clearly shot to the left on purpose.
Just chuck it into someone's face.
Just overhand. Like, eat your chicken, bitch.
It's a cool promotion. Apparently, this is the seventh time this season that Clippers fans have gotten free chicken sandos on account of players missing free throws in the fourth quarter.
When I was a kid, they had I think Chick-fil-A still does do the Peach Bowl, the college football game every year. And Auburn, my hometown and college team, was in the Peach Bowl. And I went with my parents to the Georgia Dome. And for some reason, we showed up way too early. And Chick-fil-A had done a thing where they put a free chicken sandwich in every cup holder of the Georgia Dome. And I showed up way before the game, and my little fat ass walked around an entire row and picked up a stack of fucking shit. Like, I had Chick-fil-A sandwiches, and this is the most athletic I've ever been in my life. I was a perfectly round bowling ball shaped child, and we had a Chick-fil-A at Kroger. So literally every time my mother and I went to the grocery store, I would get a chicken sandwich for a straight year. And then when I was a teenager, I ended up working at Chick-fil-A. Fun fact for your listeners, they do not pay attention to expiration dates. By mandate, when they're trading you at corporate, they'll tell you, if someone hands you a chicken, some kind of certificate for a free food item, even if it's expired, you have to take it. So there you go. But yeah,
their social beliefs are definitely expired.
That's the worst part.
I do like that they're like, you know what? We'll commit though. If we're going to be outdated on everything, it's going to be our beliefs and our food.
Yeah. That's the worst thing about them and In-N-Out Burger being run by hateful fucking evangelicals is like, yeah, but man, they actually make quality food as opposed to everyone else who's godless and nice.
Anyone still eating at Chick-fil-A? Because I'm not going to pretend that I don't.
Hey, you know what? There's one here at Western, and sometimes, man, long day.
That honey roasted barbecue sauce is enough to get me in the door. That is.
You've had it at breakfast, right? Because that's the. You go for a biscuit with the honey roasted. Oh, boy.
Yeah. That honey roasted barbecue sauce. There's a reason it's the only sauce they don't sell in stores. It's because they know I would stop going to Chick-fil-A if they did. Everything else they do, I feel like, is easy to replicate. But that sauce, how do they do it?
I tried Chick-fil-A for the first time ever a month ago. I had never had it before because I was a morally upright person. And also, like, I didn't grow up around them, so it just wasn't in my wheelhouse anyway.
All aboard the woke boat.
Well, the woke boat's having a promotion where if you hit two bridges in the fourth hour of the morning, then you get a free chicken sandwich.
Woke boat's leaving.
Oh my God. How did you just have that within reach?
Oh, I got all kinds of shit over here, man. I got all my
Michael Winslow over here.
I got a fucking little carrot top.
The carrot top of podcasting. Rivers Langley.
Got wooden spoons. I got the whole thing. Anyway, listeners sent me all this shit. This is how stupid our podcast is. People are like, oh, this motherfucker needs a real slide whistle.
Can you send me some doodads?
Oh, I got a drawer of doodads. All kinds of shit in here.
This is great Foley for the podcast. I love it. The sound of Rivers rooting around.
No, I'm not rooting. They sent me dinosaurs that you can launch off your finger. I got all kinds of shit.
Way, way back when the network started, a listener sent us some of those egg shaker tambourine type things, like maca type of things.
You mean
Yeah. And for a while there would be points where I would just start accompanying myself.
I remember that. I remember those days.
Yeah, yeah. That was when we were in downtown LA.
Woo.
Before that place got all gentrified. Just joking. It's that's my favorite detail about downtown LA. I don't know if this is still the case, but at one point it was literally the only place in the country where gentrification led to more crime. Because they didn't do anything about all of the homeless population.
Yeah, the rampant homelessness that is just plagues downtown.
They just dropped a bunch of rich people in the middle of the targets. So people like,
figure this out.
We got people to rob now. This is amazing. We don't have to rob each other. This is great.
Someone's walking out of a warehouse where they just bought a $17 grilled cheese. They just get stabbed in the face immediately.
Dude, that downtown LA, yes.
That empty skyscraper that's turned into the graffiti wall is amazing.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
three of them now. I got a picture. I went to Burbank the other day, and you can see it from the 101.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's three of them now.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Side by side, three graffiti towers.
Right next to where this basketball game occurred, in which everyone got the chicken sandwiches.
Yeah, right across the street from LA Live.
Yeah, and the crypto.com arena.
Oh, yeah, and it's going to stay that for a long time.
I think someone's going to get a hell of a deal when they actually collapse, because they'll liquidate that as an asset. So,
oh, easily.
I was saying, it's off topic, but OnlyFans arena.
Yeah.
That would... Or a Tinder, name it after a dating app or
the Grindr arena.
Grindr arena.
We're going down to Grindr Stadium.
That actually sounds intimidating.
I think it's way better than crypto.com arena.
Yeah.
No, like crypto.com, fine, because we just get to call it the crypt.
And that is fair.
We'll have to have a good season before a documentary is made.
Imagine being the person who made that marketing decision at crypto.com. Yeah. They're like, no, for real, we're gonna be here forever, so we might as well start putting our name on shit. What are we paying for this?
You know,
$50 million. It'll be fine. It's gonna pay off someday. They tanked about a day and a half after they put their name.
I think so.
The Lakers play. That's great. That's so funny.
It's
as funny as people who, when that happened, we're getting on Twitter and being like, oh, I'm sick to my stomach that they're changing the name of the Staples Center. It's like, shut the fuck up. No, you're not.
Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, what do you mean you're sick to your stomach? You
it's like the people that
been to the Staples Center.
I'm sick to my stomach.
I'm just sad that had to happen then and not 1 year later, so it could be Bored Ape Arena.
Hell yeah.
Oh, that would have been liquidated immediately, because that's not even a thing anymore. Those are gone.
Mean, yeah, but crypto is apparently a thing either. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I saw somebody who was like, it's with a heavy heart that I have to sell my ape today. His name is Chugs Fucky. And
I have to sell him for -0.008 cents.
I'm selling him for $18. I bought him for $70,000.
It was either, the Banana Man or a ranch.
Or this picture of Pepe the Frog as Homer Simpson.
Yeah. I could have bought a horse ranch in fucking Montana for the same price.
Instead, I got this thing that isn't anything.
That isn't.
It isn't. It simply isn't. Oh, my God.
All right, next story. Listen, I get that Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers is in a tough spot. He is the Democrat governor of a state that we have said several times is essentially becoming the Texas of the Midwest.
Yeah.
Wisconsin. That said, what we're going to talk about here does feel like a little bit of an overreach, if I'm being completely honest. This is one of those things where you hear it, and my first response in my head is, act like you've heard of a stereotype before, Tony Evers, because this is exactly the thing that Republicans are like, these fucking Democrats, they just rule by veto. Meanwhile, everyone does that, both sides. That's just such a common thing. But this is such an egregious example of it.
Yeah.
I don't care what the cause is. This could be almost anything. And I'd be like, All right, you're pushing it, Tony Evers. Here's what happened. The most recent state budget in Wisconsin stipulated that K through 12 public schools can raise $325 in revenue per student for the 2023-2024 and 2024-2025 school years. I don't know what that means.
They can raise themselves with sales?
Bake sales. It's literally car washes, bake sales, shit like that. Yeah.
So, I didn't know that they had to be allowed to do that.
But that's not really even the important part.
Right.
What's important is how Tony Evers changed the language in the budget. When the article said this, I thought they were, I don't know, using hyperbole or saying it a certain way to make it seem like something it wasn't. What they say in the article is that he vetoed the hyphen and the 20 in those dates to make the end date 24-25. So in other words, he took a thing that was supposed to be approved for 2 years and approved it for 400 years. I don't care what the fuck you're doing in government. You shouldn't be able to make anything a law for 400 years. I don't care if it's the Adam is a good dude law. Even I'm going to be like, well, let's give it 150 years and see what people think of me. That's a whole lot. 400 Adam, years?
Adam, I'm a bit offended because I did sign a billion-year contract. Now, listen, it's a combination of spirituality and technology. And there was a man, he was a naval hero, speaking of boats. He wasn't on a woke boat, but he was on a boat. His name was L. Ron Hubbard. And yeah, so just saying, 400 years is nothing.
I vetoed the space in Sea Org, so now it's Sea Org.
And see, I was going to say, I vetoed the space between the B and the I in billion, and now it's a bazillion.
Oh, yeah.
Bazillion. This law is now approved for a bazillion years.
Look, we are that stupid. I mean, we're laughing now. I used to say in 50 years, but no, in next year. Something will be passed for a bazillion years. Everything is just rolling downhill, getting stupider and stupider.
And that's the thing here too. Tony Evers, don't you realize the next thing that's going to happen is Republicans will be in charge of Wisconsin and they'll just start making shit effective for 400 years.
I was going to say, you have to be mean to gay people until 26, 28.
Yeah, because I'm going to start. It's a slippery slope from giving kids money to beating your son for 400 years.
Hey, that little asshole stole a whole barge and melted it down for metal. He deserves it.
You know that if an opposing team misses four free throws in the last quarter, that's what happens. It's Chick-fil-A comes and beats up your son for 400 years.
Yeah. New rule for the next 400 years. We're only allowed to raise a chicken sandwich per student.
Wait, is that Bill Maher's new rules?
New rule. Bum, 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 bum.
You know who made that song?
No. Oh, God.
You don't? Oh, my God. I figured Rivers would know at least. Kid and Play.
What?
Yeah.
What? Oh, my God.
The titular Kid?
Yes.
Wow.
Kid. Christopher Reed from Kid and Play.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Bill Maher theme song.
What a legacy.
Only music he's made since he was doing that.
That's like when you find out that Buckner and Garcia of Pac-Man Fever fame made all of the Waffle House original tunes from their jukebox.
I saw an Instagram video of Kid and Play performing recently, and they were moving very slow.
Yeah.
The caption said, Kid and Play out here looking like adult in work.
Damn.
That's a good one. That's good.
Got him.
They got him.
More like adult and work.
So apparently this thing where you just veto a letter or two, I don't know if it's unique to Wisconsin, but it's apparently a thing in Wisconsin because in 1990 and 2008, voters adopted constitutional amendments that took away the ability to strike individual letters to make new words in bills. Yeah, it is called the Vanna White veto.
Jesus. It has a really serious name.
There's also an amendment that covers eliminating words and numbers in two or more sentences to create a new sentence that is called the Frankenstein veto. That's crazy to me that you can send a governor a bill and he just starts reverse Mad Libs in it.
Yeah.
And that's like doing, they take the fucking
illegal for 1,000 years.
It's like those fridge magnet letters. You just rearrange on the fridge and make different sentences.
Yeah. It's like, thou shalt not kill, erase it. Thou shalt ill. And then everybody's listening to Beastie Boys and chilling.
Yeah.
And murder's legal.
And so the argument here,
it's a two-hander. It's both.
And so the argument here is that Tony Evers violated that constitutional amendment by crossing out the hyphen and the 20 and doing the little carrot and writing 24 above it.
How did he do that without any shit? Like, he's sitting there going, I'm actually opposed to this dash. So it's like, you're in politics. What are you fucking talking about? You're leading a place.
If he had done it for 10 years.
Yeah.
But 400? Why not 1,000? Why not 1,000,000?
Do you think he was wearing a fucking hat with a pinwheel on it when he did it?
Yeah.
Like, oh, 400 years.
Also, in 400 years, $325 per student will be a nickel.
Like, yeah, that'll be nothing.
Yeah, that'll be like another thing.
Yeah.
400 years from now, Republicans are going to be like, this is all we got to spend.
It's, you wanted it's
like this. A loaf of bread per kid, but still.
Yeah. 400 years ago, you wanted this. Now the Gleep Glop administration says this has to stay.
All hail the wise Emperor Evers.
Yeah.
Gave us this gift. 400.
Yeah. Years. He's got his head in a jar like Futurama, and he's still.
Which, holy that shit. Is a very obvious way something like what he just did could go wrong.
Yeah.
100 years from now?
We kind of fucked over. Okay, we see these archaic abortion laws that are getting dragged up in other states, like how they're affecting now. He could definitely be fucking over kids. First of all, there's not going to be kids in 400 years, but if there were, they would probably be fucked somehow by this.
Wisconsin will be far enough up north in 400 years that it'd probably be pretty dandy in the winter. It's unbearable in the summer, but winter months, it'll be like LA is now.
Really dandy.
Yeah. Anytime I hear something like this, my immediate thought is follow the breadcrumbs back. Who is the guy that made the Vanna White law necessary? Because you know it's one person who was just being a fucking dickhead in the 1920s, and then it became a thing to the point where they had to make it illegal. There's got to be some hilarious guy who was just sucking off all the robber barons building railroads across Wisconsin in the fucking 1900s, who was just like, yeah, we'll just erase the Y on the end or whatever the hell it is.
It's the equivalent of like the no diving in the jacuzzi sign. It's like, well, somebody did that.
Someone did it, yes.
So we got to put a sign now.
Yeah, it's like actually, this is probably true everywhere, but they don't put a train crossing until someone dies by getting hit by a train.
So,
yeah. All right. Next story. Apparently, kayak and canoe slalom is an Olympic sport now. I was all ready to talk shit about that. And then I watched the video, and this should absolutely be an Olympic sport now that I watch it. It's cool as shit. And I've seen stuff like this, I think, on ESPN, the proverbial ESPN Ocho.
Truly.
But I've seen competitions like this, and they are indeed cool as fuck to watch because it's basically what it sounds like. It's skiing, that like downhill skiing where people are trying to hit the flags on the sticks, but it's on water and
water,
wild water, rapids. And it's really fucking neat. And
I'm this out right now,
all for it being in the Olympics. But what I understand way less is why the first ever U.S. Olympic trial for kayak and canoe slalom happened in Alabama. Rivers, explain.
So I understand why. Let's say this. Because the place that they did it at is like artificial. It's essentially like it's an XXXX stream lazy river. So I don't know why they had to do it at a
sponsored
fake
place. Sponsored by Corn Nuts. Corn gone wrong.
Yeah. Well, so I don't know why they did it at a fake place, but speaking as an Eagle Scout from Alabama who did a shitload of canoeing and kayaking, Alabama is actually known as the American Amazon. There are 132,000 miles of rivers and streams in the state of Alabama, and Alabama has the largest biodiversity of fish anywhere in America. So for instance, the Colorado River out here has 26 species of fish. Alabama's rivers are home to 350 species of fish. So Alabama is a lot of goddamn water. So that makes sense. The part that doesn't make any fucking sense is that they would do it at a fake place when I could tell you right up the road from Montgomery is Corn Creek and Moccasin Rapids, which are fucking wild and really fun to go over in a damn canoe. I don't know if I could grab flags, but I've gone over those rapids many times and real fun up there.
Yeah, there was that freshwater water park in Orlando that Disney operated.
Where it was with an actual spring. It was Discovery Island, I think is what it was called or something like that.
I don't remember the name of it, but a kid died from a brain-eating amoeba. In 1980, I believe. And they immediately closed it down 21 years later after 9/11.
Yeah.
So maybe it's that. Maybe they don't want people to get river bugs in their brain.
Yeah. Well, so I was going to say, I maybe this event is new, but they've been doing canoeing at the Olympics since 1936. And my shout out to my friend Joel, he was eliminated right before the Olympic level doing this about maybe 10, 12 years ago, something like that. So a guy I went to high school with and was in my scout troop who was by far the most badass kayaker and could do the Eskimo rolls and all that shit. He almost qualified for, I don't know if it was this event specifically, but something involving kayak and canoe.
I wonder if I read this wrong. And this is the first time the trials are happening in Alabama?
Yeah, maybe so. Because I looked it up because I knew they had that as an Olympic sport because the last time they had the Olympics in Los Angeles, they had to do the canoeing stuff in Arizona at the Colorado River because there's no fucking water here. And they'll probably have to do it again in 2028 because we're going to run into a very similar problem when the Olympics come here next.
Anyone going to try to go to the Olympics when they're here?
Oh, totally.
This apartment I'm sitting in will be an Airbnb. I will be getting out of town. I have no plans on being anywhere near it. That said,
I'm going to try to go. I'm going to try to go if I'm still here.
I'm going to try to sneak in.
I do need a redemption arc for the Olympics because I went to one Olympic event in Atlanta in 1996. My next door neighbor, her mother worked for CNN. And we were over there playing one day and her mom came home and goes, "Hey, I can get us tickets for an Olympic event if you guys want to go." And we're like, yeah. What are the events? And she goes, "Well, I can either get tickets for equestrian or judo." And this is the mid-90s and we've just been playing Mortal Kombat all day on Sega Genesis. We're like, judo, expecting somebody to get their like spine ripped out. And then it turns out it's just Russian guys grunting.
Yeah. Meanwhile, at the equestrian thing, people were getting fucking wrecked.
That's what I'm saying.
Destroying people.
At least you would get to see horses. That's more fun than just guys being like,
I was for sure this story was going to end with a bomb going off.
Well, that happened 3 days before, so there was nobody fucking there.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah,
got some cheap tickets.
We got to walk up front, but they didn't have any damn Chick-fil-A tickets, so it wasn't worth the shit. Anyway,
if a bomb goes off in the fourth quarter,
I had been preconditioned that when I attend sporting events in Atlanta, Georgia, there'd be a giant stack of free Chick-fil-A sandwiches in it for me. So I was disappointed on two fronts. Turns out, no fatalities from Sub-Zero and no chicken.
So yeah, there are no professional sports teams in Alabama except the Alabama Crimson Tide.
No, they got the UFL. They got the UFL now.
So yeah, like I was saying, there's no professional sports teams.
Hey, we got the Montgomery Biscuits. They're the minor league baseball team just on the river walk there. I think it's very
They sound ferocious. Montgomery Biscuits.
Hey, man, their logo is rad. It's just a biscuit with eyeballs in it. And it's got a pad of butter for a tongue. And he dances around.
I do like that. Let me take a look
at this. Oh, I like that a lot.
Oh, no, he's cool. He's cool. He looks like Mayor McCheese. I love it.
Yeah, dude. Montgomery Biscuits, man.
No, shout fuck yeah. I'm back. Biscuits. I'm on board.
Yeah, they ain't limp. Never. The hard biscuits.
We the hardest motherfucking biscuits out here, and by which I mean stale.
All right, let's switch gears just a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Oh, I can't talk about the Coosa River. I can't talk about the Tallapoosa, the Alabama, the fucking Cahaba. Let's talk about the Cahaba lilies. They're only available on the Cahaba River. No, this is all real.
I know. But, I've done, but to
I've done 50 milers on every one of those rivers before.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, man.
Now, instead of all that, let's talk about the woke mob on the march once again. This time, their target is a women's prison in California, FCI Dublin, to be precise. I'm assuming FCI means Federal Correctional Institution, and I'm assuming that because I Googled it.
Nicely done.
Dublin, one of only six women-only federal prisons in the nation, and the only one west of the Rocky Mountains, currently houses 605 inmates.
Yas queen.
Yeah. In August, eight Dublin inmates filed a lawsuit against the Bureau of Prisons alleging that the agency failed to root out sexual abuse within the facility. Oh, I was too excited about that line. I was really hyping that place up for a little bit.
Is that there. Where it got its nickname from?
And then hit that point. Yeah, I think that might be why prison has been called the rape house for a long time. And we're just now shutting it down. This
sounds like a fucking Harley Quinn early film.
This is the fucking American justice system at work right here. God damn. There was a 2021 investigation done by the Associated Press that found that there was just rampant employee on inmate sexual assault. Just rampant. This report came out in 2021. Since then, eight employees at that prison have been charged with sexual assault. So even after the fucking Associated Press reported on it, they were like, well, we're not going to just stop raping women, right? Surely we'll come to some understanding here where we can carry on business as usual.
Yeah.
That's nuts. That article comes out and you're still like, all right, well, I'm going to get away with this though, right? Still.
They don't do two things. They only investigate once. It's double jeopardy. You ever heard of it?
So back to right next to where the damn canoe trials were, fucking Julie Tutwiler State Prison in Alabama. Same exact thing. It was a women's state prison where this was just a known thing. Everybody in the state fucking knew about it. And it took them till the mid 2010s to bother to investigate. And then they fired like three people and it's still a fucking nightmare. So that's where this is going. Maybe you get a little bit more justice because it's on the federal level and it's the United States as opposed to just Alabama. But at the same time, it's a thing in every prison, but it's especially horrifying in women's prisons.
Yeah.
Well, I used to do a bit on stage about prison rape jokes and how we have become pretty vehemently anti-rape joke in this country, but prison rape jokes are still okay. And I think that is a bigger deal than we make it out to be. We are so quick as a society to be like, oh, well, good luck.
They all deserve it.
You're going to get raped. I feel like the way we joke about it kind of perpetuates it and makes it to where we've just sort of accepted that on top of whatever you're charged with in court, the possibility of being raped is also on the table if you commit a crime and do a jail sentence in this country. And that's insane. And we only talk about it with men, but obviously it's a thing with women too. Rape is part of our justice system.
Yeah.
It's just a thing that happens or could happen if you go to prison.
It's one of the many mysteries of our country is just the bloodthirsty nature of our populace, where it's like, not only are we the most incarcerated people on the fucking planet, on top of that, there's this element of brutality for no good goddamn reason, where it's like they're already sending so many fucking people to jail. At least make it nice. Or at least make it fucking passable. You don't need to one or the other or neither. Yeah. Neither preferably, but it's crazy to have both.
And then the idea of like, we're talking with the joking of it, of like the rape, like the, oh, don't drop the soap. It's because people, like the culture of prison is we all are conditioned to believe that everyone in prison deserves it because they're bad people. Yeah. And where the reality is like maybe one out of five people that's in prison is actually a violent offender and the other people just had weed or something at the wrong time in American history. And it's but we're like, oh yeah, well, that'll never be me because I'm a good guy. So it's funny that they get raped in prison. And it's like making fun of things that you'll never think you'll be, homeless or old or dead or whatever.
Yeah. Well, and furthermore, it's people who had weed who couldn't afford a good lawyer or their
right. No, exactly. Exactly.
So it's just, it's already, it's a compounding shitty situation where I'm below the level where I can afford to get out of this, like so many fucking white kids in the suburbs do. So that sucks. I'm getting sentenced more than I should. So that sucks. And on top of it, there's threats of physical and sexual violence. And you're just like, where does this end with this fucking country? Where it's like, yeah. And you're right. And it's just thought of as that's what happens. And you're like, that's not what happens. It's not what happens to people with means.
Well, speaking of that's not what happens, I have also seen interviews or read interviews with people who were in prison who were like, you know, if we, at least where I was in prison, knew there was someone raping people, we would just fucking kill that guy.
Right, like, right.
I don't want to get raped. So you have to also take into account that all this talk of, rape is so common in prison, that might just be what the prison system wants you to think so they can punish people with rape.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah,
play it off of it. Like it's not any of their own doing, when at least in women's prisons, as we're seeing here, it clearly is. But I'm sure this is just the one bad apple out of the six.
Yeah. Right. And the numerous state prisons, like I mentioned, Julie Tutwiler in Wetumpka, Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
This exact same shit.
Yeah, I'm sure this. And we never talk about that. We never talk about women getting raped when they go to prison.
Right.
Ever. We never, ever, ever, ever joke about that. And for good reason, you shouldn't. It's not a thing to joke about. But I also feel like it's probably not a thing to joke about with men's prisons either.
Right.
I don't care who Bernie Madoff took money from. He didn't deserve to get raped over it. And I'm not saying that happened to Bernie Madoff, but that's the joke you hear when someone like him goes to prison is, don't drop the soap, buddy.
Yeah. It's
like, we should be thinking about that more because.
Yeah.
Well, and also he is rich, so he'll be in solitary and famous. So he'll be in solitary confinement. Yeah. So no, which is,
our minimum security fucking spa day prison.
It's almost as if there's a perfect way to solve this problem and they're just not doing it. It's just.
Oh, we're simping for Elon Musk more. Is that how you solve it? Loving billionaires and giving them more stuff.
Right. But it's like if you treated everybody sort of like that. Maybe this problem would be cut down on, but again, especially back to the point about the fucking bridge, prison's a private industry now, so it's about profit and growth.
Right.
And you have that applied to something like incarceration or healthcare or anything that's essentially a life or death thing. Yeah, a lot of people are going to get hurt very badly. Airplanes, yes, all that shit. It's like
airplanes, that's the big one.
And honestly, that is the root of the bloodthirsty nature of this country, is because that's how we were established. That's how we started, was from this hyper-individualistic, I get mine and fuck all y'all. And that is our constitution, essentially. So it's not surprising that we've ended up in this place where we have this kind of strange bloodthirstiness. But the son of a bitch is that the money's all gone. So now it's just the cruelty, which is...
It's cruelty, and we don't even get a check at the end. It's literally I assaulted minorities all day emotionally and spiritually, and all I got was this lousy t-shirt.
Dude, 200 years ago I would genocide an entire population and I get a gold mine out of it, a literal gold mine. And now there is
I'm still under the poverty line. What the fuck?
Yeah. So it's just the cruelty. That's all you have left. Once you scrape off all the fucking excess funds and you assign all of the natural resources to corporations, this is what you're left with, is just people being like, you don't drop the soap.
Yeah. I should mention one of the eight employees who were charged with sexually abusing inmates since that 2021 article, the fucking warden, Ray Garcia, was one of them. And on the one hand, you hear that this facility is being shut down, and that's great, but it's not what you think. It seems that they're more shutting it down because this investigation was going forward and they knew it wasn't going to go well. So what they decided to do was shut down this prison, but none of the employees are losing their jobs.
That sentence confused me so much when I read it. I'm like, trying to get down, but nobody's losing their job. That sounds like one of those things is a lie.
I've never had any desire to work in corrections, but if the jail is empty and we're just fucking hanging out.
Yeah. Well, you pay me to hang out in a box all day?
Playing shuffleboard on the fucking D block?
Well, no, these are government jobs. So they're just going to be moved to prisons. But are we sure none of them were doing any raping? Is it confirmed that only these eight people? Because it seems like a culture of sexual abuse that was happening there. And I don't know. This strikes me as a burn it all down and let motherfuckers fend for themselves, because it is kind of the ACAB principle where, sure, your father, who's a cop, might not be beating black motorists for having the audacity to own a nice car.
Yeah.
But he saw cops doing it and he didn't say anything and he didn't do anything. And you know that's the case here too. Oh. It wasn't some underground network of guards who were abusing inmates. It was, well, we abuse inmates here and you either get on board or you don't, but you don't fucking say anything. That's for sure. So I don't know. This seems like a burn it all down kind of thing to me. Maybe none of these people should work in the prison system anymore.
Probably not.
Call me crazy.
Maybe they probably shouldn't work around people ever again.
Yeah.
Because they're sex offenders.
Again, it's everything is the bridge. It is just failure of regulation and pushing money over people. This is what you get. You get a fucked up bridge, you get a fucked up prison, and you're turning the sexual assault prison into the woke boat. That's what it is. Well,
and it's also that thing where it seems like the only effective union in this country anymore is law enforcement.
Yep.
They really do go to bat for their employees. Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised if this is that exact thing where they're like, well, none of these people have been charged with anything, so you can't fire them. You have to give them jobs elsewhere. And it's like, okay, yeah, that sucks. That sucks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's also, like you said, it's unions working how they should. Unfortunately, it's just the union for evil can be like, hey, if you fire these people, Leavenworth is fucking walking.
Yeah.
Then you're like, okay, you got me over a barrel here. So yeah, you're exactly right. Unfortunately, the best demonstration of the effectiveness of unions comes from the fucking, the attack dogs of the capitalists.
Yep. 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 Yay. So, yeah. Also.
Oh my God. I was not ready for it. I tabbed over to the notes page again. And so I didn't see you bring it out. It scared the shit out of me. I was like, oh my God. Did I just open a tab? What happened? Oh yeah. It's Rivers and his trinkets. Jesus Christ.
Had to do something to lighten the mood.
You know? No, that was good. That was good.
That was good. On the bright side, if there is a bright side here, closing this prison will do nothing to stop that lawsuit that those inmates filed, because that lawsuit was filed against the Bureau of Prisons and not Dublin itself. So they're not going to completely escape justice for this. Hopefully, they probably still will, but in a perfect world, these women will still get some sense of justice, because even if this is what a person who's not thinking about it hard enough would call a consensual relationship, it's pointed out in the article we'll link to, if you're a correctional officer dealing with an inmate, there is no situation where that inmate can consent to being in a relationship with you. The power dynamic is too much. That
it's not even a dynamic, it's binary. Like that's it. That's right.
You control that person's movements from the time they wake up to the time they go to bed. There is no such thing as a consensual relationship between a prison guard and an inmate. So even if that's just, and I'm doing air quotes, even if that's just what it was, that's fucking rape. Yeah. Go fuck someone at your local bar, you scumbag.
Yeah, it turns out that's not hard to do. You can just go to a bar and have sex with people because they're drunk and they want to.
Yeah, it's, And you know this is a thing everywhere, in every prison, and even in men's prisons, even if it's not rape, it's some form of extortion. It's some form of control over those people's lives. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
USA. USA. A. All right. I feel like there's something about this next story that we're just not hearing.
Right.
Because everything about it seems like it was an accident. And now people are going to jail over it. We might lose Alec Baldwin for a few months. The Rust movie Armorer was sentenced to 18 months in prison by a New Mexico court. Hannah Gutierrez Reed, she received the maximum penalty for her part in the 2021 on-set incident that killed the film's cinematographer, Helena Hutchins. This is tough because it's obviously an accident, but it seems like the case they're making here is this girl wasn't qualified to have this job. And here's the thing. These aren't the same thing, obviously. But you all know me. I'm good at what I do. I've been making a living at comedy for more than a decade. I used to run a Playboy website called The Smoking Jacket. It was a comedy website. And the plan was they wanted it to be getting 1 million page views within 6 months. We hit that within a month because, again, really good at what I do. But eventually, at one point when I was running that website, Playboy sold all their online assets to this porn company called Manwin. And they didn't want to give me a raise at all to stay there. They were like, well, we have to see a history of your work. And I was like, I've been running this site for a year.
Yeah.
Look at a history of it. Long story short, when I quit, they replaced me with the poet girlfriend of one of the Manwin executives, thinking, oh, well, comedy website, that's just a plug and play thing where we'll just get her to tell people what to write and it'll be fine. And that website was dead, I shit you not, within 3 months.
Yeah.
Well, it got really pretentious.
It went from being good to not good literally overnight.
That's really funny.
And I can see that being a thing here where someone was like, what? You need someone to make sure the guns aren't loaded? My girlfriend. Yeah. And it's like, motherfucker, maybe your girlfriend can't and you should all go to prison.
No, because what I understand about these types of blanks that they're using is if you knew that job, that's why I totally agree. Because like, if you do that job, you have to adhere to a certain set of standards. And because shit like this happens. And so what I understood is she was being charged with, what do you call it, negligence or whatever. But like, when you think about how much of this bullshit industry is just like networking and, oh, I met a guy at a party and he's like, oh, we need a fucking gun wrangler on Rust and I want to fuck you. So do you want to have that job? I feel like it's also a lot of the people I know that get these jobs in the industry are just like, not these specific jobs, but just jobs in general. It's like, it's never about, oh, I went to school and I went through a career trajectory to get where I am today. It's like, no, I fucking fucked around in LA until I found a job by meeting a guy for coffee once. And so you never really know if anyone's actually worth shit.
So with this specifically, the situation was they were filming in New Mexico. And it's the reason that a lot of the film industry has moved places like there, places like Georgia, is because the actors and the directors are all part of SAG and DGA and stuff like that. But the crew is non-union. And the crew on Rust was a non-union crew. It's almost like the bridge again. They saved a lot of goddamn money at the expense of human life. Because if that had been an IATSE fucking shoot, who I think is they're the people who would be in charge of something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't fuck around with that kind of shit. But because they were shooting in New Mexico, and it's that thing of, again, the conservative people are just like, Alec Baldwin should be a murderer, be sent to jail and blah, blah, blah. Why? Because he made fun of Donald Trump. You're like, no, he should be sent to fucking jail because he fucked around with human life because he wanted to make more goddamn money by shooting the fucking movie in New Mexico where we don't have to do that. And it's the same shit that's going down in Georgia, and it's going to keep happening until all of those non-union states get their crews unionized, because that is, again,
well, by then they're just going to have AI do it by that point. So it's just going to, our weapons are all inspected by AI. We don't even have humans on stage or on set anymore. So everyone's going to just fucking die.
Yeah, I swear it's fitting that we started off by talking about the bridge, because every one of these fucking stories for the most part is just like,
there's a big through line. There's a big through line here.
Someone wanted to save some money and people got grievously fucking hurt.
Yeah, I didn't even think of the union angle, but even if it's that, people should go to prison. Alec Baldwin should go to prison. Fuck it. I don't care.
Right.
And remember things where, you know, if you were to be confronted by a conservative about this story, they'd be like, well, how would you like it if Alec Baldwin went to prison? It's like, motherfucker, I don't care.
That sounds awesome. I don't
care if Alec Baldwin went to prison.
Yeah.
That's you're the one that licks conservative boots. I don't give a fuck about my fellow nibs.
Right. You're the one who thinks about Alec Baldwin all day.
Yeah.
Same with, it's the same thing with fucking Biden. They're like, Biden should go to jail. I'm like, I don't care. If he does something, then yeah, that's how it should work.
Yeah.
People, I would say, like, Baldwin and Biden are about the same amount of actual liberal. They're probably, you know, which, by which you mean they're centrists.
Yeah, exactly. Don't care.
Conservatives are like, what would you think if Alec Baldwin went to prison? It's like, we're going to eat Alec Baldwin someday.
Yeah.
You not hear us talk?
Like, that's not that you're not cooking, man. You think you're cooking, bro. This is, I'm not being cooked right now.
The movie is gonna come out, right?
They're gonna finally put it out
after the bullshit is, or not bullshit, after the very earned oversight charges go away for Alec Baldwin because he's rich and famous. They're gonna finish this fucking movie, and I'm like, first of all, because I love a freak show, I'm gonna see it. But I'll be the only one in that goddamn theater.
Well, no, I was going to say it'll do great for the same reason The Crow did great, because someone died while they were making it. The Crow's not that good of a movie.
No,
I've never seen it.
It's not that good.
I like Sting's Crow character, so it at least brought forth one of my favorite wrestling gimmicks, but I've never actually seen the film.
Do you guys remember when Alec Baldwin posted a 1 year in memoriam of the fucking cinematographer's death, and it looked like a fucking happy birthday post? It's like, wow, I can't believe it's already been 1 year. I was like, how come no one in your life has told you to delete this? Holy shit, this looks insane. You did that.
Yeah.
You can't post an RIP to the woman I shot. That's so crazy.
Yeah, Alec Baldwin, he can definitely go to prison over this. I don't give a shit. And especially, I hadn't thought about the union angle. Hearing you describe it that way, because at first, when Alec Baldwin got charged, I was like, all right, that seems like a bit much. He was just an actor firing a gun. But he's also a producer.
He's the producer. Like, so he's in charge of hiring people and shit.
And in charge of the idea behind where the money's going. And then where the money's going in this case was to a non-unionized state.
Yeah, exactly. So when they start doing these union votes, Georgia, fucking hop on this shit, because this is going to be an issue coming your way.
Because Alec Baldwin could be kicking down your door and shooting you any day now.
Yeah, kind of. Look, here's the thing.
We're shooting a weird documentary. Bow, 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 bow.
I'll just be real honest. If we were like halfway through season 3 of 30 Rock, I'd probably ride harder for Baldwin. But at this point, the show's over. We're good. The
show's over.
Yeah. Glengarry, Glenn Ross, this is rap.
We all heard the voicemail he left his daughter.
She's an adult now, and they will be posing together and shit. I'm just like, yo, you called her a disgusting little pig.
I missed my family so much during this.
I missed my disgusting little pig adult daughter.
Somewhere along the way, that disgusting little pig got under my skin.
Yeah.
All right. I know it's been mostly upbeat stuff up to this point. I'm sorry that we have to close on some sad news. Rivers hit it.
Sad news from all around the world, right back here in Los Angeles, California. It's sad news
here on Wydelts.
Yeah.
This feels like a bigger story than it is. I don't know. Rico Wade died.
Yeah.
At the age of 52, people might not immediately recognize the name, but when it comes kind of just to 90s music in general, he is huge.
Yeah.
He was part of a production team called Organized Noise. They, for one, were the production team behind all of those early Outkast albums, all those early Goody Mob albums. They kind of started Southern rap. They didn't start it, but the Ghetto Boys were huge way before Outkast. But the Ghetto Boys were Ghetto Boys huge, and Outkast was winning the Grammy for Album of the Year huge.
Yeah.
And Organized Noise kind of kicked that part of Southern rap off.
they fucking made So Fresh, So Clean.
Yeah. Well, and that was later when they actually had a studio. So Rico Wade's mother, her basement had a dirt floor and is referred to in lots of Outkast songs as the dungeon. They call themselves the Dungeon Family. The dungeon is Rico Wade's mother's basement. And so if Chunky Fire, Reign Supreme, Preem, Dungeon, King, and all that shit. TLC too.
Yeah, Organized Noise. They produced all of the early Outkast albums, but also they produced some pretty big pop hits that people know, and they're so behind the scenes that you don't associate them with it. And I think the biggest example is Waterfalls by TLC. Oh, yeah. Rico Wade co-wrote Waterfalls by TLC.
One of the biggest songs ever.
Legitimately one of the biggest songs of the 90s.
Yeah.
Also, this is a less famous example, but Don't Let Go by En Vogue.
Yeah. Which is
a fucking banger of a song. If you've ever heard it, if you haven't, go look it up right now. Rico Wade co-wrote that too. He was so instrumental to a lot of the music you probably knew and loved in the 90s. And he died so young. There's no cause of death yet. He was 52. I'm fucking 48. Yeah. That guy's my sister's age.
Oof. Damn.
I don't know why or how he died. It doesn't ultimately matter, but I don't know. People aren't talking about Rico Wade.
Yeah.
I just saw this while looking it up. I didn't know he was Future's cousin.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I did not know that part.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll ask Future what happened.
Yeah. Basically, in the early 90s in Atlanta, the big powerhouse record label was LaFace, which is Ellie Reed and Kenneth Babyface Edmonds. And they were doing all the kind of new Jack Swing stuff, lots of bongos. That was the signature of LaFace Records, was bongos on everything. Just check out Garth Brooks's album as Chris Gaines.
Right.
A lot of Babyface on that. But at some point in the mid-90s, Dungeon Family starts cranking out stuff like Player's Anthem, which was Outkast's first big song. And then they just passed them the ball. So a lot of that LaFace Records stuff had Dungeon Family production all over it. So that was En Vogue. That was TLC. Outkast, Goody Mob, and your point about the Ghetto Boys, they're Houston hip hop. I would say they kicked off Atlanta hip hop, which sort of dominated the 2000s for sure. Yeah. I don't think there's, as much as I love my West Coast shit, as much as I love my East Coast shit, that little town an hour and a half away from where I grew up, they kind of ran shit for a long time.
Yeah. And when I brought up Ghetto Boys, that's more to bring up Southern rap.
Yeah, for sure.
I know Ghetto Boys weren't from Atlanta. They're from
Houston,
obviously. Not trying to get killed by Jay Prince. So, this is
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
That's too young. That's far too young when McConnell's still not dead. It's
right? There's so many. Well, that's Sir William Joel said it best. Only the good die young.
Sir William Joel.
Yeah.
There is a documentary we've mentioned on a few different pods before on Netflix about Organized Noise.
I tried to rewatch that during COVID and they pulled it down. I don't know. It might be back up now.
Shit, is it not up anymore?
Yeah, because
Art of Organized Noise?
Yeah. Is it back up? Because I do
remember.
I watched it when it came out and then COVID, just looking for anything. And I was listening to Outkast, which this guy produced the soundtrack of me cooking. And literally, I almost did it to the point now where if I'm cooking, I have to be listening to Outkast. That's just the sound of me chopping veggies and shit.
It's not streaming anywhere.
That sucks.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
And God, Netflix produced it too, so I that's why it's weird.
You think they shelved it like the fucking Coyote movie to write it off on the taxes? God, again, we're back here. The boats of streaming.
Yep. The damn woke boat.
These woke streamers.
The woke boat took my Outkast documentary away.
And other poems.
That really does suck, though. God damn it. Yeah. I hope they put it back up.
Yeah. They own it as far as I know, so I don't know why. But I do remember there was like kind of a sad part of that documentary because they produced all the Outkast records up through Stankonia and then did not produce Love Below or Idlewild. And they were kind of a little, those guys, they didn't call us. And I felt like it's kind of a bummer, but whatever.
And
they're legends.
The thing, not for nothing, but that's kind of the point where I stopped fucking with Outkast. I kind of felt like Speaker Box and Love Below was not their best. I get that it won album of the year, but.
So I feel about that the way I feel about almost every double album ever made, which is half of it, it's the greatest album of all time.
Oh, absolutely. A better producer in the room might have got that through their heads.
Yeah, that's true. But Andre had to do his own thing, do a little acting. Outkast is everlasting.
Do a little flute album.
the sound of being massaged. Yes, the flute album.
So, yeah, rest in peace, Rico Wade.
Yeah, man,
guy that's a fucking waterfalls. Okay. Yeah. Waterfalls. And also Don't Let Go by En Vogue, which is it's just one of the best songs. If you're not familiar, the video's great, the song is great. It's from the Set It Off soundtrack. I've never seen the movie Set It Off, but I did have a cat at one point who I named after Queen Latifah's character because that just felt like a cool thing to say when people asked where I came up with the name Cleo.
That's for good.
My cat.
I like that.
It wasn't the psychic.
Yeah, that wasn't Miss Cleo.
Damn.
Yeah. And then I named my next cat Dio, not realizing that means God.
In Latin or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I thought I was just naming my cat after a metal band.
RJD. Yo, Dio, that, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I think that's our episode. Rest in peace, Rico Wade. Stop raping people in prison, please.
Yeah, what else do we have to wrap up here?
Yeah, am I going to add a tag to every story?
Unionize your film sets.
Yeah, unionize your film sets. Boats in the Olympics. Fuck yeah.
Alabama, America's Amazon.
400 years is too long for laws.
And thank you, Boban Majarnovic.
Yeah.
And also, daps out to Boban.
Yes. And also, hey, Boats, chill out.
Hey, mm-hmm. Boats, calm. Oh, yeah. And if anybody out there has eyes on a missing barge.
Yeah, Thoughts and prayers.
Tweet at us.
Telling you that barge has been melted down and turned into crystal meth.
I think it just took flight. I think it grew a pair of wings and like it's now it's soaring up like Disney film.
Is the Chitty Chitty Barge Barge.
Yeah, Chitty Chitty Barge Barge. Yeah, is that the episode title? Did we find the episode title at the very end?
That is the name of this episode.
Well done, Rivers.
Thank you.
So, hey, Kevin, Rivers, thank you both for
Pod.
I appreciate
Thanks.
It. What do we have to plug before we get out of here? All I got is adamtoddbrown.substack.com. That's it. Go read my writings. Kevin, what do you got?
You can find me on all the things, including Venmo at KB Anderson. Turns out I don't have a job anymore, but that's okay. Cause you know what? Life finds a way. But also if you live in Los Angeles area, every third Saturday of the month, Avatar 2 comedy show at the Good Night in North Hollywood. The next one is on 420, dude.
What?
Blaze it.
That's this-
We're doing Avatar 2 Up in Smokes featuring special guest Cheech or Chong. We're going to find out who on Saturday. That's Rivers? It for me.
Hell yeah. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Rivers Langley, and you can check out my podcast. It's called The Goods from the Woods. It comes out every week on all the places you find. You don't even like this show. And as far as stand-up goes, I think you said this comes out tomorrow, correct?
Yes.
Hell yeah. April 28th, I'm in Detroit at the Detroit Shipping Company in Michigan. April 29th, Blind Pig, Ann Arbor. April 30th, Brothers Lounge in Cleveland, Ohio. Don't Tell Comedy on May 3rd in Indianapolis. Mahal's in Lakewood, Ohio on the 4th. Hype in Auburn, Alabama on May 8th. May 10th, Don't Tell Comedy in Pensacola. And May 11th, Bites and Brews in Columbus, Georgia. I'm going on a big damn run, y'all.
I wrote all of that down immediately. I nailed it. I got every detail right.
People can put it at half speed on the iPod.
Yeah.
I was mouthing it with you as you said it.
Like, oh, this old chestnut.
Yeah, but I've never been to Michigan before, and I've never been to Ohio before, so I'm fucking cutting those off the damn, and I've never performed in Indiana either, so looking forward to all that.
Very nice.
Well, if you're in Ohio in the river, go check out that barge.
No, it's in Pittsburgh. It's
the Ohio River, Pennsylvania. Not Ohio.
Ignorant fuck. Let's get out of here. Kevin, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Rivers, would you please say goodbye? Bye, everybody. We love you. Bring a blood object to Bristol Street.
object of Bristol Street.